The dreams came right away, immediately after my nearly instant slide into darkness. I am standing over Chapin once again, raising the knife for a perfect slice. But it is no longer Chapin on the table. It is Brian now. Brian lying taped below me. He gives me a smile so large and fake I can see it through the duct tape across his mouth, and I lift the knife higher. And then Cody and Aster are there beside me. They raise up their plastic Wii controllers and point them at me, clicking furiously, and I find myself moving to their control, lowering the knife, turning away from Brian and pointing the knife at myself until the blade is at my own throat, and a terrible wailing cry comes from the table behind me, and I turn to see Lily Ann taped in place and reaching up for me with her tiny perfect fingers. And Rita is thumping me with her elbow and saying, "Dexter, please, come on, wake up!" And at last I do. The bedside clock says 3:28, and Lily Ann is crying. Rita groaned beside me and said, "It's your turn," before rolling over and dragging a pillow over her head. I got up, feeling like my limbs were made of lead, and staggered to the crib. Lily Ann was waving her feet and hands in the air, and for one dark and dreadful moment I couldn't tell it from the dream I'd just had, and I stood there, wavering and stupid as I waited for things to make sense. But then the expression on Lily Ann's small and lovely face began to change, and I could see that she was about to launch herself into all-out, full-volume wailing, and I shook my head to clear away the fumes of sleep. Stupid dream. All dreams are stupid. I picked up Lily Ann and placed her gently on the changing table, mumbling soothing nothings to her that sounded strange and far from comforting as they came from my sleep-raspy throat. But she got quieter as I changed her diaper, and when I settled with her into the rocking chair beside the changing table, she twitched a few times and went right back to sleep. The sense of dread that lingered from my idiotic dream began to fade, and I rocked and hummed softly for a few more minutes, enjoying it far more than seemed right. And when I was sure that Lily Ann was sound asleep, I got up and placed her carefully into the crib, tucking the blanket around her into a snug little nest. I had just settled myself back into my own little nest when the phone rang. Instantly, Lily Ann began to cry, and Rita said, "Oh, Jesus," which was quite shocking coming from her. There was never any real doubt who it would be, calling at this hour. Of course it was Deborah, calling to tell me of some hideous new emergency and make me feel guilty if I didn't instantly leap out of bed and run to her side. For a moment I considered not answering. After all, she was a grown woman, and it was time she learned to stand on her own 2 feet. But duty and habit kicked into gear, combined with an elbow from Rita. "Answer it, Dexter, for God's sake," she said, and at last I did. "Yes," I said, letting the grumpiness show in my voice. "I need you here, Dex," she said. There was real fatigue in her voice, and something else as well, some trace of the pain she had been showing lately. But it was still an old refrain, and I was tired of the song. "I'm sorry, Deborah," I said with real firmness. "Work hours are over, and I need to be here with my family." "They found Deke," she said. And from the way she said that, I knew I didn't want to hear the rest, but she went on anyway. "He's dead, Dexter," she said. "Dead, and partly eaten."